Well, it is very good to be home. We had a nice 9 days away, which for me is hard because I love to do what I do, but also wonderful. We got to watch our Ben at Nationals and to see him play baseball there. And then we went to Niagara Falls for a second honeymoon. And it was really cool how things worked out. We rented a room. I get on Priceline the day before. I'm cheap, but I have high tastes. So I got on Priceline and I got a room, and it was a 4-star hotel, which is good, but they never give you the best when you go on Priceline. And so we got in line, we got up there, and she said, well, usually this upgrade is a $50 upgrade, but for you today, for whatever reason, we got a Falls View room. Well, that was pretty cool, but I couldn't get Lori out of the room then. So it was, you know, 50-50. But we had a wonderful time. It's great to be home and to be excited about all that is coming for our church. This coming year is one of those years where I am prayerfully expecting God to do amazing things in our church, and then through our church to do amazing things as we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, use what we have and who we are to impact others. I'm excited because I believe the community of Cloverdale will be impacted. I'm excited because I believe where you are from, even more so, really, we're a church and the church are God's people. Where you are from, your communities will be impacted by the gospel. And then through what God is doing all over the world, we'll see new disciples, new depth of devotion to God. And so it is very exciting. It starts on a little bit of a downer for us as a province. As you probably know, there is a teacher strike that is still impacting many of our families, and so we don't know when that will be over. I encourage you to pray for our teachers. We have a number of teachers that are in our church family. Pray for them. Pray for students, that they'll be able to use this time effectively and not just waste this time. And pray for our government, that there be a way to somehow work this through so that our schools can be back in session, and that there will be a witness at those schools for our King. So just a reminder to pray for those things as you watch the news. Use that as an instigator to your prayer life to bring honor and glory to our King. I was thinking what to preach on as the students are getting ready to go back to school, as the Labor Day occurs, and as we finish our series, our short summer series on the book of Proverbs. And one of the themes that comes over and over again in Proverbs, if you've been reading this, you've seen this, is the theme of friendship. What does a good friend look like? How can I be a good friend? And how does that influence how I live? One preacher, as I was listening to a sermon on friendship, said, "You show me your friends and I'll show you your future." Well, I'll repeat that throughout this message because I believe that's what the book of Proverbs teaches. We influence others and others influence us, and sometimes far more than we would like to think or even imagine. There was a study done not that long ago with the influence of others on how children and then teenagers think. And what they did is they had a survey. They took 10 teams of 10 teenagers, and they put them in a room on their own, and then they said, what we're going to do is ask you some questions. And one of the questions was, which line on the board is the longest line? They took 9 of these youth aside, and they said, when we ask you that question, we want you to give the answer that the second longest line is the longest. And so there's one person in the room that doesn't know they're doing that. And that person, of course, is who they are studying. And they found that 75% of the time when they were going through the lines and they got to the second longest line, asking these students, which is the longest line, that 75% of the time when the 9 who were in on the survey lifted their hands and voted for the second longest, 75% of the time the person who knew it wasn't the longest line but looked around at all those who were voting that way tentatively and then finally with confidence because everyone else had their hand up, put up their hand. Those around us and how they live have a strong impact on how we view life. So much so that it's even those around us who can make sin to the righteous feel normal. Who we choose to have as friends and who we choose to be as friends changes who we are. You show me your friends and I will show you your future. We can state that actually with the confidence of what the Word of God teaches. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. What is that saying? It's saying if you have good morals, if you have a good righteous character and you hang out with the wrong company, the wrong people, that your morals will be corrupted. I have seen this sometimes very slowly and then with ever increasing speed. When I worked in the oil patch, there was the privileges that came with working in the oil patch, and at one of our fields, it was not the one I was working at, they took free gas from the plant for their vehicles. It was illegal to do that, and the company came to them and said, "We'd like you to stop this. If you don't stop this, you will be fired." And so everyone stopped, but about a month later, my time frame might be a little off, they did a little filming of this place where you could get fuel, and every single one of the people who were working at that plant were continuing to get fuel and were fired. What would cause a good person to steal in that way? Bad company corrupts good character. In my own mind, I went, what would I have done? I hope I would have said no. I hope I would have stood firm. I hope I would not have stolen from the company. And yet, you have to think that at least one of the people that worked there had some good morals. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts or ruins good morals. Proverbs 13 verse 20 states the same thing. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. He who walks with the wise grows wise. In other words, the influence of those around you is tremendous. Those you hang out with, those you choose to be around, those you would call friends will have an impact on how you think, and you will have an impact on how they think, and a companion of fools suffers harms. Show me your friends and I will show you your future, maybe even stronger. Show me your friends and I will declare your character. In other words, it's not something just to talk about with teenagers, although for teenagers this is extremely important. This is important for men and women of every age. Because the Word of God is not just written for teenagers, although it is written for them. It's written for us to apply to our lives and change us. The choices we make influence who we become. And one of the most important choices we can make is who we will have as our friends. So I want this morning really to stop in two places, looking at the book of Proverbs, and then just define the qualities according to Proverbs of what a good friend looks like. My goal would be twofold. One, that we would evaluate the friends we have now and make sure we choose good friends in this coming year. If we call September kind of the new year kickoff tomorrow, this new year we would evaluate who we are hanging out with and make sure that the qualities that the Bible declares need to be in our friends would be qualities that measure up to the friends we have. So evaluate the friends we have and choose quality friends that will help our future be a healthy one. And secondly, that we would choose to be good friends. See, not only in this room are there those who have bad friends, there are those who are bad friends. And so today, declaring the positive, what we long for is that we, as a congregation, would influence one another and those we're in contact with out in the greater Christian world and out in the greater world in such a way that we would be those kind of friends defined in Proverbs as good friends. So very quickly, just two over our arching points. First, reality check. Friends influence our future. We've already declared this a number of times. Proverbs 12:26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Did you know they do research on when they capture crabs and they put them in their tank? What keeps them in the tank? And the answer is if any crab starts to crawl out of the tank, their fellow crabs will grab them and pull them back down. They don't want anyone to get out, or they all get out, I suppose. And so they are restricted by their friends, by their fellow captives. Proverbs 16:28-29. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor, or friend, it could be translated, and leads him down a path that is not good. As a reality check, our friends influence our future. Proverbs 22, 24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. I mean, I suppose the summary of 1 Corinthians 15:33 is just clear all over Proverbs. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. So we need to choose our friends wisely. When I grew up, and I haven't read for a long time. In fact, right now I have a Western on my desk in my office, but I haven't picked it up. I used to love reading Westerns, especially Louis L'Amour. And if you've ever read one Louis L'Amour, you know how they all go. And in the story of Louis L'Amour, there's usually a good guy that has a bad friend, and he ends up standing up for his bad friend, sticking with him, and getting shot because of it. And I always feel bad for that guy, although he's a good friend, a loyal friend. He's with bad people, and it makes his life a mess. And Louis at least got that part right. We need to realize the importance of choosing good friends. Friends influence our futures. What the Bible teaches, who you hang out with will influence who you become. Secondly, just understanding that, how important that is. Choosing those we hang out with matters immensely to God, and He declares it. Secondly, there is a picture in the Bible of what a real friend looks like. So I've just called this picture of real friends. There is a picture in the Bible of what a real friend looks like. And I've got an acrostic, and I put it up there so you can write it down with some verses that are with them, and I'll add some verses as we go. But really what we're trying to do is just lay out in a way that we can understand and remember and hold before us when we're choosing friends or being friends, what does a good friend look like? And we probably all had really good friends and really bad friends. I don't mind us evaluating our past. In fact, I'll do a little bit of that with you. But really what we're saying is for the future, as we look ahead, how can we remove the negative influencers and replace them with those who will honor Jesus with us? Maybe even more importantly, how can we become those who are influencing those around us always in a positive, God-honoring way? What does a quality friend look like from the book of Proverbs? Well, first, a quality friend is faithful. This is so important, and I will say in our culture, so rare. A lot of our friendships are based on convenience and location, not on a true tender love from the heart, not on a faithfulness. Proverbs 17:17 reads this: a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Here's what it's saying. There is a friendship that is loyal in the worst of times, and that's the kind of friend God wants you to be, and that's the kind of friend God wants you to look for. And there are pictures of this kind of friendship in the Bible, maybe the most famous, David and Jonathan. And I think both picture this beautifully, but maybe even more powerfully than David is Jonathan. When you look at what Jonathan gives up for his friend, he gives up his own kingship. He is the prince of the princes. He is the one who is there to inherit the throne. But God has another plan, and the plan is for his best friend David to become king. And when Jonathan understands that, he literally gives it over to him. When his dad is angry about this concept as it's being spread around the kingdom and the success of this David versus the success of Saul, Saul plans to kill him at one of their gatherings and celebrations, and so David stays away, and Jonathan checks it all out. And what's fascinating to me is that Jonathan even risks his own life, 1 Samuel chapter 20, to protect his friend from his father. Here's verses 30 to 33. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman." Well, he's son of a perverse and rebellious dad anyway. "Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die." Jonathan knew that to be true, and here's his answer. "Why should he be put to death? What has he done? But Saul hurled his spear at him." At who? Jonathan to kill him. Here's Saul's argument. Saul says to his son, Jonathan, I'm going to kill David to protect your kingdom. And if you don't do that for me, I'm going to kill you. And Jonathan says, my loyalty to my friend is deeper than my loyalty to my father, especially when my father is doing these things. And so I'll stand with my friend. A friend is born for adversity. Remember Ruth the Moabitess? Her mother-in-law is bitter because of what's gone on in her life, and her life is falling apart, and she's faithful to her. Ruth went to a foreign country against Naomi's better judgment because she was loyal to the death to her friend Naomi. No future for her. Future in her own homeland, perhaps. No future in Israel for her unless God is on the throne and has a plan, which he did. She chose to be faithful in adversity. If you want to find a true friend, if you want to be a true friend, find someone who will stand with you when the trouble hits. Find someone who will be with you when your life is falling apart. Be someone for someone else. If you have a friend going through trouble right now, the Bible says a true friend will stand with them in adversity, will not let them be alone through their trouble. I have friends like that. You do too. Proverbs 27, as it addresses the qualities of a good friend in other ways, verse 10 closes this section out well. It says this, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Don't forsake them in their time of adversity. Be a faithful friend. I want to choose to be faithful, and I want to choose faithful friends. Secondly, a good friend is faithful. Secondly, a good friend or someone you should look for and someone you should be has a right relationship with God. This ties back to where we started, really foundational to everything else. And our first message on Proverbs began here. Proverbs 1 verse 7 states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Our memory verse, it's this wisdom that comes out, this understanding of who God is and living in light of who God is, living in his presence, impacting everything else. If you want to find a good friend, if you want to be a good friend, foundational to that friendship is this right relationship with God, the right view of the God of the Bible. And this is getting more rare and more rare in the culture we live in. It's someone who holds up the word of God and says, this Bible is sound. This is what I believe. This is who God is. And then filled with the Spirit, they follow God. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Well, how do you become wise? The Bible says the foundation of every wise life is this fear of the Lord, this relationship with God, this understanding of his greatness. We would add to that, being in the New Testament as a New Testament people, it's someone who loves Jesus. It's someone who's believed in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and responded to their own sin by laying that on Jesus through faith and saying to Jesus, I trust in you, and my sin is now yours and your righteousness is now mine, and now I will choose to live in light of who you are. The New Testament states this so profoundly in terms of the change that God brings in our life when we trust in him. And again, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, 2 Corinthians 6, it just makes these statements. We use these sometimes for marriage. It's stronger than marriage. It's for any deep and intimate friendship, relationship. In fact, in the context, it's not dealing with marriage, although I think certainly with marriage it would apply. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Why would he say this? To be yoked just means you're pulling together in the same direction. Don't have close, intimate friends that don't have Jesus on the throne of their lives. Why? For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. In other words, God takes residence inside of us. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I love 7 verse 1, really where I wanted to focus. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. I think straight out of Proverbs. Listen, people, understand, when God has truly transformed you and you're hanging out as a close, intimate relationship with, and by the way, we should have friends that don't know Jesus. That is not what I'm declaring, but the deep, intimate friendships, that those friendships are to pull them up. If we find them pulling us down, then break the friendships until you're strong enough. What this is saying is when you're pulling together in one direction, because a relationship with Jesus is so transforming, you will discover that only those who have been so transformed by Jesus can meet with you at the core of who you are and the core of your being. Oh, that we would understand this. The reason I think in our culture that we ignore verses like this is because there's been so little change in our own lives. What this is saying is that Jesus matters so much to those who have been saved, to those who are in a right relationship with Him. It so dramatically transformed them that when you're with others that don't know Jesus, that difference will bring some uncomfort and will chase away the intimacy that comes at the very core of the being of those who are fully devoted to Christ together. I know it's difficult to hear, but it's so profoundly true. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. Why is 7 verse 1? Remember, the verses and chapters were not there in the original. Why is 7 verse 1 in the context of relationships? Here's the answer. When you hang out with those who don't have Jesus at the core of their being, then very likely you will find yourselves doing things that those who have Jesus at the core of their being should not do. So he's saying, wake up, you're called to be holy. Wake up, you're called to belong to Jesus fully. And so make sure that those who are at the closest circle of your friendships are those who belong to Jesus, who understand the gospel, who are growing in deeper intimacy with God, who are authentic followers of Him. When you're looking for a great friend, when you're attempting to be a wise friend, make sure they're faithful. Make sure they have a right relationship with God. Now remember, we're evaluating our own friends so we can choose what's right, and we're also evaluating how we are as friends. Thirdly, faithful, right relationship with God. Thirdly, integrity. Basically by integrity here, I just mean honest in all of life. They live out their life as they say they will. Not perfection. Never read the biblical idea of integrity as perfection, because we are not perfect, and part of integrity is acknowledging that we're not perfect. One of the great dangers of evangelical churches like ours is that we put on a mask that says to everyone else we're sinless, when inside we know we're sinners. Someone who has integrity is willing to live their life in the grace of God, not their own pretended perfection. What integrity means are someone who is honest and willing to say honestly with you, listen, you have a problem here or a struggle here. Listen, we can do these things better. They're honest to God and they're honest to you. Proverbs 11 verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them. Proverbs 27, which we're finding a lot of these verses from, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The saying is, an enemy just says, everything's okay, you're wonderful, ha ha ha, let's just enjoy life. And a friend comes along and says, let's pursue Jesus and His best together. This is an area we can grow in. I'll help you grow in it. True friends help one another. True friends are honest with one another. True friends have integrity. Proverbs 25 verse 12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. In other words, you're looking for a friend. You're trying to be a friend who helps you, who you help to grow to become all that God wants you to be. Has integrity, authenticity, honest. True friends are faithful. True friends have a right relationship with God. God-honoring friends have integrity. Thirdly, or fourthly, they're encouraging. Proverbs 27 verse 9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. This is an encouragement. You come around your friends and you notice things they're doing well, or they come around you and they reassure us. Derek Kidner calls this the reassuring part of friendship. But it comes along and the load is heavy and the experiences of life sometimes overwhelming, and there's this arm that comes around you and it says, we'll walk this together. Probably the best illustration of this in the Bible is what Barnabas did for Saul, Paul. Here's a murderer of Christians, a separator of families, an enemy of Jesus and the church, who is divinely converted. And Barnabas courageously comes alongside Paul, puts his arm around him and guides him in the faith, matures him, encourages him, introduces him to other Christians, and changes his life through the power of the Spirit and the gift of friendship. There have been times in my own life where everything was falling around me and personally, and I had the privilege of having true friends. Some in this room. Are you a true friend? Do you have those kind of friends who will gather around you and carry the load with you, that are faithful, that have a right relationship with God, that have integrity, that are encouraging? And then we notice also that are nearby. Proverbs 27 verse 10. This is one of those verses when you first read it, you go, really? And yet it's so profoundly true. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. This is not to put down family. This is to elevate close friends. This is to say, have friends around you when you're in your time of need that you can go to, that can help you, that will never fail you because they love you and because they are devoted to Jesus and therefore devoted in their friendship to you. In a time of need, be close and look for close friends around you. Choose your friends wisely. Because if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. Lastly, just use the word delight. Delight. Faithful, right relationship with God, integrity, encouraging, nearby, delight. They will help you in your walk with God. They'll be around you. They'll encourage you. Proverbs 17:24, a joyful heart is good medicine. 1 Peter 1:8. Talks about this relationship we have with God that we share with one another, and it leaves its people filled with inexpressible and glorious joy through faith in Jesus. But then we're around one another, we're this community of faith, then we encourage one another, and the joy we have reflects on others, and it causes us not only to delight in the situations we're in, no matter how difficult, consider it pure joy, my brothers, notice the community, my fellow around me, followers of Jesus. So we get the joy, but we experience it with one another and we produce it in others. Every now and then I have those friends of mine who bug me about the words I use repeatedly. And when I am asked, how are you doing? Quite often I will answer, well, I am filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Sometimes truthfully, and sometimes I just am quoting a Bible verse. But if we have that inexpressible and glorious joy that comes from Jesus, when we're around others, this true delight in us will become a part of who they are. And we will be influencing them to joy and joy-filled living. And what should mark every authentic follower of Jesus is joy. It's one of those commands in the Bible. Be joyful some of the time. Is that close? Well, what does it say? Always. And when we're around others who are joyful, always, it impacts how we feel. Oh, you've felt this before. Have you ever been around someone who sees everything negatively? They're criticizing everyone and everything else. And how do you feel when you leave their presence? Dirty? Critical? Agreeing with them at least somewhat on some of the awful things they've said? When you're around someone who constantly sees the best, who constantly chooses what God delights in, and then has this joy that just impacts them, And you're around that kind of person and you leave that kind of person, how do you feel? Lifted up. Rejoicing. Noticing the blessings that are around you and experiencing intimacy with God. How do people feel when they leave your presence? How do your friends feel when they've been out for a coffee with you and you're leaving and they're now, especially because we've had this message from Proverbs, evaluating your friendship? What are they noticing in you? And how can I constantly be changing so that those who are around us are full of joy because they've been around us? So how do we apply this? The book of Proverbs is given so that we can make choices. The book of Proverbs is given so that we can choose to live wisely. It outlines for us what that wise life will look like. So the implications we have here, and I just want to run through three of them and fairly quickly. Because already all along, I hope you've been listening to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God has brought conviction and encouragement to you. So what are the implications? The first implication is we need to realize the importance of good friends. Realize the importance of good friends. Now again, this might seem obvious with everything we've talked about, but here it is again. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future stronger. What 1 Corinthians 15 has said, you show me your friends, I'll show you your character. If you want to be someone who honors Jesus, realize that your friends make a difference. Your choice of friends make a difference. Peer pressure is not just for teenagers. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. I'll never forget the first time I realized this, and it still happens to me. I'll come to a situation with an opinion, and then I'll have a friend share opinion that differs with mine, and I'll find myself, because of who I am as a person, listening and sometimes even joining in their opinion because they're influencing me. Do you understand the importance of good friends? Proverbs, it just shouts it out. Not only in Proverbs, but really the rest of the Bible, but Proverbs so profoundly realize the importance of good friends. Understand that. Secondly, and more important than the third one, although we're going to get to the third one, choose to be a good friend. And for this, you need to change. I know you need to change because none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. None of us do this well, nearly as well as we should. I mean, that's a whole point of grace. That's a whole point of following Jesus in the relationship of grace. We realize we'll never get to where we need to be outside of where he has positioned us. So we're constantly pursuing that. So here's the conviction I want for each of us. Let's be pursuing this, that I'll choose to be this kind of friend, the kind of friend that Proverbs outlines. Let's choose to be these kind of friends that are faithful all of the time, that have a right relationship with God and encourage the one that we are close to have that right relationship with God, that have the integrity to be willing to speak about the hard things even when it hurts us, to be encouraging and nearby when they need us, and to see the joy of the Lord, the delight that comes from knowing the Lord, not only influencing us, but then spreading to all that we come in contact with. Let's choose to be good friends because we influence people. When people choose to be friends with us, they're choosing to be influenced by us. Let's choose to be good influencers. Choose to be a good friend. Thirdly, let's choose good friends. And by this I mean today forward. One of the things the Bible always causes us to do, or at least it should cause us to do if we're being filled with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit of God, is to evaluate where we've been. I want to make that this morning a very quick evaluation. As you can say, well, who have my friends been over this last year? And if you're anything like me, you'll notice good friends and you'll notice awful friends. You'll notice friends that abandoned you and your heart will ache, and you'll notice friends that stood with you through the trials of fire and your heart will delight. And I don't mind going there very quickly, but really what I want to do is choose looking forward and saying, who are the friends that I want to have this coming year? As I look at the list that Proverbs has given me and the acrostic friend, who are those that I'm going to choose to be around, not to reach out with the gospel, we'll choose to be around those people with that goal of pulling them up to Jesus and then developing these characteristics, but at the very core of who I am, who will I choose as my best friends this coming year? And may I encourage you strongly, with God's word standing behind what I'm going to say, to choose your friends wisely. because who your friends are will determine your future, your righteousness, your character, the outcome of your year. And I would suggest that some of you will need to take some of your current friends aside and say, we need to go over this list and talk about how we're not doing this for one another, and I need to ask your forgiveness, and I need you to change so that we can stay friends. Others, maybe you just want to write a note. I was thinking this morning as I was going over this again, I was thinking, you know, there's some people I just need to write a note to and just say, thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being the kind of friend that Proverbs defines. Maybe there are some people that you need to cut out of your life because they tear you down. Maybe others that you need to invite into your life to build you up. Because what the Bible teaches is that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and how practical it is, and we confess that we need to learn more and we need to apply what we have learned. So often we talk about this sort of thing with teenagers or younger children, and we see the influence of friends on their lives and the pain of that influence. Even this week, as we or I have heard of suicides built by bad friends and the pain of the families left behind. Father, today, would you help each person that is here to choose to be a good friend and to choose good friends? Would you make this place an oasis for everyone to come and to experience what it means to see the love of Christ in action? And would you help our future to be one that is filled with your Holy Spirit and the character you desire in us because of the choices we make today? In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.